Well, I can't help it. When we sing that song, "He's a Wonderful Savior to Me," you get down at the end of the verse, and the tenor notes there go up, and it's so wonderful. You know, I've been in churches all my life where we sang that song, but it wasn't until we moved to Fort Worth that I ever heard anybody sing those notes. And I still think about him today. I think about Brother Henry Mayo.
Yes, sir.
Brother Mayo was a member of this church when we moved here. And I remember we'd sing that song and you could hear him. He had a good tenor voice. And Brother Mayo would come out with that "So Wonderful." And I thought, man, I wish I could sing that. And I've tried and I can't. So I will not try anymore. But I have a good time remembering him. John chapter 9, if you will, the Gospel of John, John chapter 9 in your Bible. I will remind you, too, there are new Sword of the Lords out on the table in the foyer. Encourage you to pick one up. There's a real good message out there. It's a very short message to read, but it's it has to do with not just hearing, but doing, you know. And you need not just believe right, you need to do right. Okay, and boy, there it's right down. I can't remember the exact title of the message, but it's on the front page down on the left-hand bottom corner there, and it's preached by Brother Kelly, who pastored for years over in South Carolina or North Carolina, one of those two, but in that direction. John chapter 9, you got it? Verse 4, just one verse. The Bible said, "I must works the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I must work the works of him that sent me. The night cometh when no man can work." You know, most people who are employed today are looking forward to one thing, and that one thing is retirement. And you talk to people, they look forward to the day when they can quit having to work. They look forward to the day when they, can turn loose and maybe just do what they enjoy doing, that kind of thing. However, I know people here in the church that I've talked to that retired, they said, "I don't know how I had time to work before I quit, because now I'm working more than I was then and just not getting paid for it," you know. But we do like to do it. You hear people talk about, "Man, I'm working and saving, want to retire early, want to be able to do that." Many people do it. Now, listen, I'm not against anybody when it comes to retirement from your vocation, all right? That's wonderful if you can do that. Hey, if you can retire early, good for you. If you can't, I guess tough it out, whatever. But I want us, instead of thinking about that, though, I want us to look. The Lord gives us a different view in what he says to his disciples. He was speaking to his disciples here. They had seen a fellow that was blind from his birth, and they ask him, you know, whose fault is it? Is it his fault, you know, or is it his parents' fault that he is born blind? And the Lord said, "No, it's so that I can work the works that I'm going to do." And he said, and just made manifest those works. And he said, then he said what we find in verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me." Notice, must work. Must work, because the time is coming when no man can work. No man can work. The Bible said the night coming. You know, it's getting dark. It is getting dark. Dark days we live in. But you know what? It's not night yet. There's still work to be done. I want to preach to you this morning on the simple subject of, till the trumpet sounds, keep working. Keep working. Keep working. Now, most people, you know, some of us, we consider work to be a bad four-letter word, all right? But there's nothing wrong with work. I thank God for a dad that taught me what it was to work. I'm glad he did. I had a son at home when he was younger. I wanted to teach him to work. And we bought a lawnmower and started mowing yards together. And we bought a riding lawnmower and used it once, I think. And the thing blew a rod. All went everywhere. And we had a good time. But he learned to work. I'm glad he works. He's not afraid to work. That's a good thing. You ought to be willing to work. You say, "Well, what do you mean, let's, until the trumpet sounds, keep on working?" Number one, you need to work on yourself. You need to work on yourself. Take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of God, and he writes these words to us beginning in verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, down in verse 25. He says this, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Hey, listen, I believe the Apostle Paul was a great Christian. I believe he was a marvelous example for us to follow. But at the same time, I want you to notice he still realized that he needed to keep working on himself, on himself. Hey, folks, the person you're going to have the most trouble with in life is you. That's the person who's going to give you the most problems. I've been married for almost 40 years. We'll celebrate our 40th anniversary in May. And looking forward to doing that. So what are you going to do? I don't know. Have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, maybe. But we're looking forward to celebrating that 40th anniversary. But in those 40 years, the biggest problem I've had in life has not been my wife. We had two kids. The biggest problem I had in life was not those two kids. The biggest problem I've had for 66 years is the guy I see every morning in the mirror. I have trouble with him. The biggest problem you're going to have in life is with you. Well, we can blame it on somebody else. We can say, well, it's their fault, but the truth is it's us, all right? It's us. I can't help but, you know, I love that old song that says, "It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. I'm the guy. I need some help." Paul realized that. He said, "There's something I need to work on." He said, I keep myself and to bring it under subjection. I'm the one that has to control it. These little old fingers, they like to do wrong. These feet like to go, and those feet you have like to take you to the wrong place. Those eyes you have will love to linger on things they shouldn't be looking at. Those ears we've got will love to tune in to things we shouldn't be listening to, but you're the one that controls them. That's what Paul said, "I bring my body into subjection." Said, these hands, they're going to do what I let them do. These feet are going to go where I let them go. I've never been in the bed, and all of a sudden my feet just started inching me out of the bed. And then got up, and they took me somewhere I didn't want to go. Hey, when they took me to the candy jar, it wasn't because I didn't want to go, all right? It just wasn't. I wanted to go there. If it took me to the refrigerator and I opened that door and looked in and said, "Man, I need a snack, you know? What have we got here?" Or over to the cabinet. I control that. You control you, all right? You control you. Hey, you need to keep yourself in good spiritual shape. Good spiritual shape. You got to keep working on yourself. Just keep working on yourself. If you're going to stay in spiritual shape, you got to keep working on that spirit. We do those mundane things, those familiar things like reading your Bible. Reading your Bible. That's why the preacher gets up and says, "Hey, you need to get in the habit. Read your Bible. Read your Bible every day." We try to encourage people. Read your Bible through in a year. We put out a Bible reading calendar. Why? It's a good thing to do. Why? It keeps you in good spiritual shape. That's why. Not only read your Bible, but pray. Spend some time with God in prayer and talk to Him and commune with Him. Why? Keep yourself in good spiritual shape. Hey, that's one reason I believe God gave us the church. God gave us the church because He knows what's happened to us if we don't get together, right? We don't get together. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I promise you I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But I want you to be honest in this question. How many of you ever been a member of a health club? You've ever had a health club membership, all right? There you go. Now, you don't have to be ashamed. It's okay if you have, all right? It's okay. Now, why'd you do that? Well, you say, I was going to get in shape. Well, good, good. Good. Because one thing I've noticed, it's easier to work out if you're not by yourself. By yourself. Back in my younger days, I lifted weights. And I'd get together with a friend. It's his fault. He got me started doing it. And sometimes I wonder if that's why I can't walk now worth a flip. It's because of my knees abusing them and doing some of the weightlifting exercises. But I'm not, don't know that for sure. But hey, if you do it together, it helps you, encourages you, encourages you. I've been in the gym and working out. Now, not in a fancy gym, you know, that's got all that fancy stuff. But I mean a gym where they got real weights laying there and a bench. And you got somebody lifts the bar off and spots you when you're doing bench presses. And you get people and they lower it down and they start, ugh! You go, yeah, go, go. And people encourage you. What does that do? Well, that helps you. That helps you. You know what? That's why you need to be in the house of God, too. We come to church. Why? Encouragement. Encouragement. We're here. It's an encouraging thing to realize there's other people. God put us here. Why? We stay in the house of God. We can be fed. We can be challenged. Why is that? So we stay in good spiritual shape. Want to be in good spiritual shape. Most of us don't do good spiritually outside of the house of God for long periods of time. We just don't. We lose something. And we need that. So the Lord said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. One of the reasons was what? Stay in good spiritual shape. Stay in good spiritual shape. Hey, you need to keep working on yourself, all right? Keep working on yourself. You don't get to the point, you never get to the point where you go, I'm there, I'm perfect. Everything's great, perfect. If you do, it slips. Have you ever gotten in the physical shape you wanted to be in? Physically? Say, man, this is it. I am at the peak of perfection, ready to go. We've got one fellow in here that used to box. I'm not going to call his name, but he used to box. Now, I'll tell you this. If you box, you got to be in good shape. You got to be in good shape. Now, you say, no, you don't. Yeah, you do. You try going for a round in the boxing ring, and it's amazing how heavy those stinking gloves get. It just mind-boggling. And I used to go to Golden Gloves. Man, I loved going to Golden Gloves boxing. And my favorite was to watch the high school kids because a lot of them had never boxed before. They got together with school buddies and they said, let's go. So they did. And they go down there. They put their hands in gloves. They've never had gloves on before. And they ring the bell. There's no style. There's no skill. It's not, you know, dodge and weave. Now, some of them do. But some of them don't. There's no, it's just, you know, when the bell rings, it just, boom, boom. And they're slinging leather everywhere. And I'll tell you, the Golden Gloves, when it was like that, if you could get two guys out there doing that, the crowd would be on their feet. Crowd would be on their feet, man, cheering and yelling. And they'd ring the bell for the second round, and they came out, and they did it again. And whole crowd's on their feet screaming and yelling. And then the third round comes. You know, you can't get your glove up because you're out of gas, man. You got to be in shape. You got to be in shape to do that. But I'll tell you this, you can be at the peak of shape physically, but you still got to work to maintain it. And can I say this to you? It's definitely the same in the spiritual realm. You have got to keep working at it. Got to keep working at it. Hey, you want to work on yourself. Make sure your profession and your practice match. Make sure that what you say is what you put on display in your life. And it's one thing to say things, but it's another thing to do those things. Look, our Christianity, if our practice is going to match our profession, then we ought to be the same out there as we are inside these walls. We ought to be the same person. I mean, our Christianity is on display every day in every way. At home, in your home, hey, at school, if you're in school, on the job, everywhere you are. Hey, your Christianity needs to be on display when you're in the grocery store or you're at Walmart and you get aggravated. Nobody's ever been that way, have you? Yeah, you get there and you get aggravated, you get mad because of something somebody does or somebody in the line or it's taking that cashier forever to check you out. I'll tell you, your Christianity still needs to be on display then. It needs to be seen everywhere you go. Forgiveness, the love you ought to have, the kindness you ought to have. Listen, it ought to be on display. Now, sometimes we can hide our sin, but sometimes we hide our what ought to be our Christianity. It ought to be on display. It's a good thing. The Bible says this verse, and I use it a lot, be ye kind one to another. Because I think God's people have to be reminded of that pretty often. We live in an irritating world. We live with irritating people. I get mad in traffic. Do y'all ever get mad in traffic? I do. I get mad. I get mad at the stupid things people do at a red light. But sometimes those things, those stupid things those people do, I do them. I don't know if y'all have ever done this before. I just confess. I've been driving before and look up and see this light yellow, and I stopped at the light as it was turning red. And I'm sitting there, and another car went past me. Man, they ran the red light. I looked up. It's a flashing yellow light. Y'all ever done that? Man, I have. I've been, you said, how did that happen? Well, my mind's somewhere else sometimes, I'm thinking about other things. And I look up in the rearview mirror and I say, well, thank God nobody pulled up behind me and had to honk the horn and say, what's wrong with this moron up there? Hey, you hear me? Our Christianity ought to be on display at times like that when others do it. It ought to be on display all the time. Hey, can I say this to you? We'll move to the next point. We ought to be our own worst critic so others wouldn't have so much to criticize, okay? So others wouldn't have so much to criticize. Hey, till the trumpet sounds, you need to keep working on yourself. You just need to keep working on yourself. That's not all. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Once again, here's the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of God. He's writing to the church. In Philippians chapter 3, and we get down to verse 13, and he says these words. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul, I believe, is saying here that I'm going to work now for the Savior. I'm going to work for the Savior. I'm working on myself so I can work for the Savior. And you've got to work on yourself if you're going to be able to do anything for God, all right? You're just going to have to do it. Can I remind you, the Lord himself, when he was here, called us to take up our cross and follow him. Amen. You understand that. Look in Luke chapter 9, because I want to look at a specific word in here later, all right? Luke chapter 9, would you? And notice, here's the Lord, and he's talking to disciples. He's speaking to them, and he's giving a word of instruction for those that would be his disciples. And he said in verse 23 of Luke chapter 9, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Follow me. Listen, that's you ought to be willing to work for him. You ought to be willing to work for him. And our work should be offered willingly. Willingly. Why is it we have to be drug into things? Why in the world do we have to be drug into doing something for God? Sometimes people have to be embarrassed into doing something for the Lord. And we have to have our arm twisted. Why in the world are we like that? Why can't we just look at the Lord and think about all he's done for us? And he said, you need to take up your cross daily and follow me. Why can't we just do that? Why can't we just say, I'm on that. I'm willing to do it. In Nehemiah's day, the Bible said they were able to build the wall because the people had a mind to work. They were willing. They were willing. They didn't have to be, you know, twisted. They willingly said, I'll be there. I'll help. I'll help. I'll pitch in. I'm willing to do it. Hey, look, that ought to be our desire. That ought to be our attitude when it comes to serving the Lord. I'm willing. I'm willing. And that work ought to be offered willingly. Not only that, I think it ought to be offered regularly. You say, what do you mean? I mean it shouldn't be on again, off again. It ought to be regular. It ought to be regular. Most of you folks that have a job, you've got regular hours. You've got regular hours. And this is hours I'm going to be working, okay? Now, not everybody, but most people, you know, if you've got a regular job, you got regular hours, all right? Now, those of you who have irregular jobs, it's different. But if you got a regular, when you got regular hours, you can pretty much know this will be working right in here. I'll be working in those hours. Hey, we ought to be that way. It ought to be daily. Here we are. We're here. We'll do whatever, all right? And I ought to sign up. Lord, I'm willing, and I'll do it regularly. I'll serve you. I will serve you. I think that work that we do for him ought to be performed proportionately. Now, this may take a little bit of explanation. Here's what I mean when I say it that way. That means we simply do what we can do, all that we can, and what we can, we do it. We do it. Hey, in life, things change. There's some things that you, maybe some of you sitting here, you said, preacher, I can't do some things I used to do in service for the Lord. That's fine. But what you can do, you ought to keep doing. What you can do, you ought to keep doing. Hey, if you're a more mature Christian, and I'm not necessarily talking about age there, I'm talking about you've been a Christian, you've grown as a Christian, I believe God expects more out of you than he does out of the new Christian. You've got a responsibility. You've been taught. You've been trained. You know, you understand some things. You can do a better job than that novice can do at it. You ought to do the very best you can, and you ought to do it with all your everything you've got. Give it to it. Now, you say, preacher, I'm a new Christian, pretty inexperienced. I don't know what I can do. Well, you ought to do what you can do. You ought to do what you can do. Look, everybody can witness for the Lord. Everybody can witness. Now, some people will be a more polished witness than other people will. But everybody can witness. Everybody can take a tract and hand it to somebody. Everybody can do that. Well, I mean, you don't have to have a talent. I mean, it helps sometimes if you say, hey, read that when you get a chance. But if you can, if you hold, I've noticed it's interesting, most people, if you hold something out, they'll reach and grab it. They'll reach and take it. You don't even have to say, I am offering this to you. Most people figure that out when they see you stick it towards them, all right? And they take them, all right? They'll take them. So, give a try. Talk to people. Talk to people. Now, some can get a conversation going at the drop of a hat, man. Other people not. Some are more timid than others. But I'm telling you, everybody can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody can. I would strongly urge you, if you've never tried to witness to people, that you hook up with somebody who has and go with them. Just go with them. So I'll go along with you and see what you do. And what? That's what I did. I learned by going with other people and listening to them as they worked and witnessed to people. Hey, listen, we ought to be concentrating on serving the Lord. We ought to be willing to work serving. We ought to work on ourselves, and we get ourselves in shape. And the more we are in shape, the more we can serve God, and we ought to work for the Lord, all right? Then you say, well, I'm trying to get me in shape. So when I get me in shape, then I'll do it. That's not what I said. I said you ought to work for the Lord the whole time, but you ought to keep working on yourself, because the better you fix yourself, the better servant of God you'll be, all right? But you ought to be working. You ought to be working. There's something you can do. You can be an usher in the church. You can work. Hey, we need somebody right now to help on the bus route, okay? Faithfully, I need somebody to do that right now, all right? We need some, you know, Sunday school teachers. Sometimes we need Sunday school teachers to take a place. Sometimes we need replacement Sunday school teachers. We get a phone call, man, I'm sick, can't be there. I need somebody to take my class. We need somebody that can step in on a moment's notice and say, I'll teach that class. I'll do it, all right? We need people. There's laborers, all right? There's just all kinds of jobs people need to do. Let me say this third thing. Your work ethic needs to be right. You say, what do you mean? It means you need to work hard. You need to work hard, not half-hearted effort. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 says this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it slipshod. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says, do it with thy might. And then it gives you why. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Hey, listen, folks, you and me, we're going to die one of these days. We're going to die. I don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when you're going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. But we're going to die one of these days. When we die, can I say this to you? You'll never have opportunity to work for God again. That's it. It's over. Well, when I get to heaven, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Working for God in heaven. Well, no, your chance is now, all right? The opportunity is here, all right? You need to work hard now. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If you didn't get it there out of Ecclesiastes, notice Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever ye do. Now, Ecclesiastes, it was whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Now, that means you ought to be looking for something to do. But in Colossians 3:23, it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Hey, our service for Him is to be heartily. Why? It's for Him, not for men. Not for men. I'm going to give it everything I've got. Work hard. Can I say this? Not only work hard, but work long. Work long. A lot of employees spend their day watching the clock. They get to work, they punch in, and then they start watching the clock because they don't want to miss break time. Right? And after break is over, they start watching the clock because they're wondering, it won't be lunch. It won't be long, it'll be lunchtime. And don't want to miss lunchtime, okay? I don't want to be late to break or late to lunch. And so they take that lunch time, and then maybe there's an afternoon break, so they're watching the clock again to see that. After that break, they're watching the clock saying, how long is it going to be till we get out of here? We were in Maine several years back, and there's a big shipbuilding place there. Big place. They made ships for the U.S. Navy. And I'll never forget, we were driving by about quitting time. But I was amazed. Now, when it's quitting time at your place, what happens? I don't know what happens at your place. But this place, we drove by, it was about time to get off. Now, it wasn't time yet. It wasn't the end of the workday. But we drove by, and they were crowded up at the gates. The men inside that facility were standing at the gate. I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about 50, 60, 70, 100 of them. They're crowded up at the gates. They were waiting, I guess, for the bell to ring, the buzzer, the sound, and then they were going to walk across the street and get in their car. Well, it wasn't quitting time, but they had already quit, right? They had already quit, and they were waiting there, so time to go home. Look, man, you need to work long. If you're going to serve God, you need to give Him everything you've got. Don't just look for time to get off. I'll be honest, I don't think there's any off time for the child of God. There's no off time. There's just not any off time. It's not an 8-to-5 job. When I talked to Brother Dunbar, and we were talking about him coming to work here, I said, Brother Dunbar, we don't work 8-to-5. So we don't work a 5-day work week, okay? We don't work a 4-day work week. I said, we work till the job gets done, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. I'm going to say something to you, and I'm not saying this to you because I want you to feel sorry for me, because I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I'm doing what I would rather do than anything in this world. I'd rather be a pastor than anything in this world. But it's a 24-hour-a-day job. I tell people all the time, if you need me, call me. Call me. I watch TV shows. And people, you know, that TV show, it's late at night, and the phone rings, and they're in the bed, and you see them waking up, and they're fumbling around for the phone, and they pick it up, and, hello? I'm going to tell you something. If you call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to hear me say, hello? If I answer that phone, I'm going to be awake. I'm going to say, hello? I mean, I'm awake. If the phone rings, you say, what do? I get up and answer it. That's what I do. Used to, the way it was set up, I could just reach from the bed and grab it and say hello. Now I have to get out of the bed and reach over and grab it, because my stupid phone cord is not long enough, all right? So I have to get up and get it, but that's all right. So does it bother you? No. It bothered me one time. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Our phone rang, and there's is a kid on the other end of the line. I said, kid, teenager, and he said, oh, let me talk to your daughter. I said, what? Let me talk to your daughter. This is the truth. My daughter was about this long at the time. Some moron had the wrong number, okay? At 2 a.m, all right? And I said, you don't want to talk to my daughter. She's only 3 months old, okay? Well, then he cursed me. Because I know I couldn't understand it was in a foreign language, but I know it wasn't. Well, God bless you. Thank you for telling me, all right? Because he thought I was lying to him. He thought I was lying to him. But I said, yeah, you don't want to talk to her. She's only 3 months old. You got the wrong number. And I'm not real happy there. But if you need me, you call me. I don't care what time it is. And I'm serious about that. Now, I would prefer you not call me at 3 in the morning to chit-chat. You know, hey, preacher, how's that going? Oh, I'm having fun. I'm sleeping. What are you doing? You know, people call me. Are you busy? No, I got my feet on my desk, my head back behind my head. I'm doing great. I'm not busy. Look, don't ask me that. If I'm not busy, I'm not going to tell you I'm being lazy, all right? So just go ahead. It doesn't bother me. I don't care what time you call. Listen, I believe Christianity is a 24-hour-a-day job, 7 days a week. Being a Christian is all the time, all the time. I don't believe there's a time you take off from serving God. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying you ought to be willing to move anytime God calls, anytime he gives you an opportunity, you ought to be constantly letting your light shine for Jesus Christ. Until the trumpet sounds, let's work. Let's keep working. Work faithfully. Work faithfully. Let me remind you of the command of God that we read there in Luke. He said, take up your cross daily. Daily. That's faithfulness. Every day. Every day. Faithful work. Every day. I'll be there. Be there. Be there. Yesterday we had memorial service for Brother Mrs. McNabb's son. He died suddenly, had a heart attack, 55 years old. He was in construction. And they, you know, just kind of give me some ideas. They sent me a email of testimonials from people that worked with him. Boy, I'll tell you, he had a good reputation as a worker. Good reputation as a worker. Can I say this? That ought to be our reputation as a child of God. Every day, I'll be faithful, all right? I'll be faithful. I'm not going to be always looking to call in sick or to take a day off, you know. I can even, hey, as a child of God, doing God's work, you can even do it on vacation. Man, I mean, you may be at Yellowstone National Park, but it's okay, you can pass out tracts there. They give out all kinds of literature at Yellowstone, so you can add to it. Give them some other literature, you know. You can just do it. Get, you know, witness as you go. You're eating at a restaurant, maybe you're doing that. Take some tracts with you, pass them out. I'm just telling you, be faithful. Work faithfully. Listen, work till the trumpet sounds. I think he's a Nazarene preacher, and I may be wrong here about that. His name was Uncle Bud Robinson. That's what he was known as. And he's quoted as saying something pretty much like this. And he said, "I'll punch the devil as long as I have strength to raise my arm. I'll kick him as long as I can lift my foot. I'll bite him as long as I have teeth. But when I'm old and weak and toothless, I'll gum him till I die." Can I say to you, thank God, hallelujah, what a wonderful attitude. Let me have that attitude. Let me have that attitude. Let me labor with that kind of determination. Why? I'm serving the King of Kings. Serving the King of Kings. You said, "Preacher, we're in the middle of a pandemic." I know that, but you can keep working for God, all right? You can keep serving Him. You can keep living the way you ought to live. You can faithfully do the job. You can work long. You can work hard. You can definitely work on yourself. Man, when they cooped us up there for that period of time, you know, and everybody's supposed to stay in all that, what'd you do? Well, I beat up my husband, you know, all right? No, you shouldn't have been working on him. You ought to have been working on you, all right? Work on yourself. Work on yourself. All right, till the trumpet sounds. Can we keep doing that? Can I ask you something through this morning? Have you stepped back some from your work for God? Hey, are you doing anything for him? Is there some work you need to do on you? Is there some work you need to do on you? Well, when are you going to get started? When are you going to get started? Simple question, but when are you going to do it? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm always intrigued by people that say, "I'm going to start my diet tomorrow." Tomorrow. Hey, listen. Something you need to work on you, get to work on it. Something you need to do for God, what are you waiting on? And why aren't you doing it? Why be spasmodic about it? Let's be faithful. Be faithful. Heavenly Father, help us today. Lord, till the trumpet sounds, we need to be working. Lord, there's always work to do on ourselves. Lord, there's always some things we need to knock some rough edges off. There's sin we need to get forgiveness for. Lord, we need to come to you. Maybe there's things we need to make right with other people. Lord, there's work we need to do for you. Would you burden us about it? And Lord, would you help us to decide today we're not putting it off till later. We're going to start now. Would you help us now? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning? Page 381, Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling today. Listen, is he dealing with you? Is he dealing with you? Is there some things you need to work on your life and your heart? Would you do something about it today? If you need to come, the altar's open there for you. Would you come while we sing this verse? Come on.
Jesus is calling me home. From the sunshine of love with our own Father and Father.
Jesus is calling his tenderly.
God bless you. It's good to have you this morning. Amen. Didn't say anything about it before, but it's good to see Ms. McFate able to be with us. She broke her knee, and she is showing off this fancy new frame and brace she's got. So, and she's hobbling around on crutches. So. But I'm glad she's able to be here, aren't you? Good to see her. Glad she's able to be here. Let's be dismissed this morning in a word of prayer. I ask God to just give you a good afternoon, all right? Brother Poe, would you dismiss us, please? Amen.